Talking about a hymn of praise. God been good to anybody on a Wednesday night? God ever healed you? Has he ever set you free? Has he ever made a way where there was no way? Come on, would you praise him right now? Would you give him glory with me? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Woo! Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Aren't you glad to be in God's house one more time? Well, that was pretty weak. I said, aren't you glad to be in God's house one more time? There's a lot of other places you could be tonight. You could be in a graveyard. You could be in a hospital room. Amen. You could be down at the city jail. But God. Hallelujah. That's enough to shout about right there. But God what? It don't matter. And I think of all the things that should have happened and could have happened, but God. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful to know who he is tonight? If you have your Bibles, the book of Exodus chapter 20, while you're turning there, let me say what an honor it is to be back in New Life. I love this church. I love your leadership, Bishop Sutton. You've become one of my favorite people in the world. And I love this man and his family. And it's very evident the more you get around them that it's not, he learned a long time ago how to raise his children to be 110% involved in ministry. And you can see this family working together through all their fingerprints all throughout these services. Amen. And this is a revival church. I told the Lord a long time ago, I said, God, I know you've called me to preach. And at the time I was assisting in Louisiana, I said, I don't have the preacher's itch. I'm preaching plenty. I said, if you want me to evangelize, I want you to send me places where I can have revival. And surely that is true of this house. I love this church. Good to see my very, very, very dear friend, Brother Joe Rowley and Seth. They're more like family to me. I preached for Brother Rowley back when nobody would give me a chance, and he felt sorry for me. And I think I was about 18 years old. And I'm not sure if he regrets it yet or not, and that's, he hadn't told me that, but we'll just leave that up for debate anyway. And last but certainly not least, I am so glad to have my sweet wife and children with me tonight. As you know, they can't travel with me all the time, but I am so glad that she is here. Amen. I might preach a whole lot worse tonight, but I'm going to leave here feeling like I did a whole lot better just because she's here. Amen. And so we're just going to get into this and see what the Holy Ghost will have us do. Amen. Are you ready to have revival? Well, I said, are you ready to have revival? I know it's Wednesday night. You've been at work all day, but let me just let you in on a little secret. I never learned how to preach on Wednesday night. I learned how to preach on Sunday night. And so the way that I fix that is I don't try to preach like it's Wednesday night. I just preach like it's Sunday night. And so forgive me if I get a little excited. And if you don't get excited with me, that's going to make me preach a whole lot longer. So why don't you just help me preach tonight? How's that? Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15, the Bible says, thou shalt not steal. Well, that's deep, isn't it? That's good preaching right there. Would you lift your hands and ask the Lord to help us? God, we love you. We praise you. We give you glory, honor, thanks. There's nobody like you in heaven or in earth. God, you're the first, you're the last, you're the everlasting. You are the one who was, who is, and is to come, the Almighty. I'm asking you, Lord, right now, have your way. Move in this place tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Everyone said amen. Amen, amen. Thou shalt not steal. If God will help us for the next little while, I want to preach to us the curse of the thief. The curse of the thief. You may be seated again as long as you promise to help me preach. Hallelujah. When God gave his people deliverance from Egypt, it wasn't very long before God decided that his people needed some guidelines. They have lived their entire lives as slaves to another man's will, to another man's way. They got up when that man told them to get up. They went to bed when that man told them to go to bed. And there is a good possibility that if they did not have some form of government, that for lack of a better term, they would have went buck wild and just absolutely lost their minds, just because no longer are they living under the hand of another man, but they have their own will and their own way now. And so, seeing how God knows all things, aren't you glad he does? He said, I've got this figured out. So he calls a man named Moses up to Mount Sinai. And there he began to show Israel from a distance a taste of his power. And the mountain smoke, the Bible says, because God came down upon it. And the voice came out of the sounds like a sound of a trumpet. It was loud. In the midst of all of this, God began to speak to Moses and give him what we know today as the Ten Commandments. And so these commandments become a set of laws for God's people who had never known their own governing. And this was the foundation of how they were to live their lives. And since they were so effective, God put them in a Bible and he gave them to you and to I so that everyone could understand that this will keep you out of trouble if you'll listen. Amen. Growing up in church, we're very young when we learn the Ten Commandments because we understand that they help us to coexist with one another. We understand that the first four are between us and God, but the last six are between us and our brother. You take somebody off the street that's never been in church before and ask them if they know any of the Ten Commandments, and I promise you, they're probably going to know one of two. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. It's basic principles on which our society is built upon. I don't want to hang out with somebody that's a mass murderer. Well, I guess I'm all alone in that. If you're a serial killer, don't ask me to come hang out with you on Saturday. I ain't coming. On the other hand, I don't want to hang out with somebody that's a thief. I don't like feeling like I have to watch all my stuff. To be called a thief to me is one of the worst things that anybody could call you, because that means that everybody watches their purse at Thanksgiving and Christmas. You can walk down the road and it's like just a wall of car alarms going off, people locking their doors. We all know that one person from our neighborhood, and everybody, don't let them come to your house. I don't want to be called a thief. To be called a thief, again, it's one of the most, it's one of the worst things anybody could call you. And to be labeled something like that, to me, would be like, I don't know, to a country boy, it'd be like somebody calling me a sissy. I don't want nobody calling me a thief. In today's world, I believe the prophetic word of Daniel is coming to pass when he said, in the last days, men shall increase in knowledge. We understand that that is happening even right now, because men have been able to go and see what's on the inside of the brain of a thief. What makes him tick? What makes him think? What makes him do what he does? And so when we dig into that, we find that there are some who steal from necessity. They say their children are hungry. They have no food, no water, no way of buying any of these things. And then there are those that suffer from the mental condition of kleptomania, or in short, the ones that we call the klepto. They steal just to steal. They don't want it. They don't need it. They just enjoy stealing and watching you lose while they have momentary gain. The reasoning behind stealing is just because they love to steal. And we go to our Bible and we see that the Bible tells us, thou shalt not steal. And it's not very few verses after that, that when God tells us not to steal, that he gives us an understanding that there is a curse that goes along with being a thief. In Exodus chapter 22, for the first 8 verses, it deals with the thief and the curse that is to come upon him. He is to pay for his deeds by not only giving back what he has stolen, but giving back with interest. We see that there is no place place in society in biblical times and even in our times for a thief. And in many cases, it was punished by death. We can go to the Bible in Zechariah chapter 5, and we see that the Bible says, I turned and lifted up my eyes and looked and seen a flying roll. And he said unto me, what seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll. The length thereof is 20 cubits and the breadth thereof 10 cubits. Then he said unto me, this is the curse. Everyone say the curse. This is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off as at one side according to it. And everyone that sweareth shall be cut off as on the other side according to it. We see Zechariah, chapter 5, that God is beginning to clean house. God has been establishing a church. God has been establishing his man. God has been establishing the anointing for his people. And all of a sudden, he stops and he begins to change the way that he is talking. And so he gives this man, his prophet, his man, he gives him a vision of a scroll. And he said, this scroll is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the earth, and everyone that is a thief is going to be cut off by this scroll. Most theologians seem to believe that this scroll, this book, this flying roll was not only a word from God, but it was the word of God, meaning that the word of God is going to be the thing that judges the thief and cuts off. And everybody in here right now is wondering, where in the world is this preacher going? The Bible says that the word of God, this roll, it's going to cut off the thief. It's going to bring to judgment the ways of the thief. It's going to put an end to the thing that the thief has been doing, stealing and destroying. The Bible tells us that the thief cometh not but to kill, steal, and to destroy. But he said that I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I simply put, tonight when we go to John 10:10, we can find out very clearly who the thief is that I'm preaching about tonight. I'm preaching to somebody here even right now that the thief is in your family, and the thief is in your finance, and the thief is in your mind, and he's doing his best to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But if Zechariah chapter 5 is correct, there is a word from God that's going to come, and it's going to cut off the way of the thief. In short, the thief is cursed. I come to tell somebody on a Wednesday night that the devil's been stealing from you. He's been taking from you. Let me just tell you that he is cursed. He's stolen from your peace. Can I tell you that he's going to have to return your peace, because the devil, the thief, is cursed. He might have stolen your joy, but can I tell somebody that joy is going to be restored because the thief is cursed. He's standing against the ministry. He's standing against your family. He's standing against your mind. But at the end of the day, we understand that there is a curse that has been put upon him that will never be reversed. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12 that Satan has much wrath. And if we read that and stop right there, we get real upset because the devil's full of wrath. But the rest of that scripture says, for he knoweth, but he hath but a short time. There is a curse that's been put upon him, and the clock is ticking down, and everything that he has stolen from you, it shall be returned. I don't know what he's stolen from you, but this I do know. When we find out who the thief is and we get our hands on him and we begin to worship and praise and give God glory for the restoring power of the Holy Ghost, that the thief is going to be put under our feet. That the thief is going to be destroyed. The thief is going to have to return everything he's stolen. Hallelujah. I read something a few months ago when I was studying for this, and it really caught my attention. It said that a sure sign that someone is a kleptomaniac is that they steal things that they cannot benefit from. The word of God, the scroll, says he's going to cut off the thief. Word of God, the scroll, tells us who the thief is. Now, let me ask you, this is a simple question. What's the devil going to do with your joy? Because at the end of time, he's going to be bound and put in torment forever. How's he going to benefit from your joy? How's the devil going to spend your money? I don't know how hell works, but I don't think they have Walmart in hell. So since he can't benefit from him, then why in the world would I let him take it? I am convinced that a lot of things that the enemy steals from us, the reason that we lose it is because we don't understand that we've got enough power to look the devil in the eye and say, get out of my home, get out of my family, get out of my finance, get out of my joy. That's my peace. As the old song says, the world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. I come to let somebody know tonight, you need to realize what's been going on. And stand up to the thief and tell him, no more are you stealing at my house. No more are you stealing from my family. No more, because I know who you are and I'm bringing you back before the Lord. Hallelujah. As this is being set up in Zechariah chapter 5, in the scroll, everybody shout the scroll. In the scroll. As God is setting up for what's fixing to happen in Zechariah chapter 5, we back up to Zechariah chapter 3, and we see that the book of Zechariah is just one big boxing session where God has got the devil on the ropes and is just beating his head in. We go to Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1, and the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Satan. Now, this isn't him talking through a prophet. This isn't him doing it. This is God talking to the devil. He said, the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. It's not this a brand plucked out of the fire. Simply put, what's happening here is God is setting up to break off the curse against the thief. He's getting ready to send the scroll out against the thief. There's spiritual warfare going on. The devil's been stealing from God's people right here. And the Lord looked down and said, everything that the thief was doing, and he finally got tired of it, and he said, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that had chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Now, I know we're not supposed to add to or take away from the word of the Lord, but when the devil comes out against me, this is how I read this scripture. The Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that had chosen Jacob Phillips rebuke thee. Did he not say that you're a chosen people? I'm feeling my Holy Ghost now. Didn't he say that he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light? You got script. You know what you ought to do the next time the devil comes around your house trying to steal and kill and destroy? You ought to break open your Bible, open it up to Zechariah chapter 3 and say, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that had chosen New Life Church rebuke thee. I've got the hand of God on my life. I've got an anointing on my life. God called me. God chose me. God picked me up and filled me with the Holy Ghost. I got a reason to give him glory. You think for one moment I'm going to let you come in here and steal from me, devil? You're about to have a bad day because I'm realizing I'm chosen by God. This revival God gave me, he gave it to me. He gave it to my house. He gave it to my family. This is our revival, and the devil can't have it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now. Hallelujah. Somebody shout the scroll. Now, if theologians are correct, and they say that this scroll is not just a word from God, but the word of God, then we got to find out what the scroll says about the thief. Can I take my time tonight? Let's go to Exodus chapter 22 and verse 1. The scroll says that if a man shall steal an ox, somebody shout an ox, or a sheep, somebody say a sheep, and kill it or sell it, he shall restore. Oh, I like this part. 5 oxen for an ox, and 4 sheep for a sheep. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, that where there are no oxen, the crib is clean, but much increase is given by the strength of an ox. And so when we look at that, we see it's very easy to understand that the oxen are a type and a shadow of prosperity. If you took a man's ox, that means that you took every way that he had of living. And so the scroll says, now I understand we're not still in the Old Testament, but the Old Testament, when he said, I came not to condemn the law, but to fulfill the law, what was happening? And he was saying, I'm bringing to a spiritual connotation of everything that's in the Old Testament. It's not that we're doing away with it. We're just bringing it into a spiritual sense. And so when we see that, we understand that he's speaking right now in 2019. He's not talking about a literal ox now. He's talking about a spiritual ox. And the Bible says that if the devil, or we know who the thief is, if the thief, the devil, steals one ox, that he must restore 5 oxen for one ox. Literally meaning that if you lost $1, oh, help me, Lord. I said, preacher, you're getting charismatic again. Well, I'm just going to preach, all right? If you lose $1, that means the devil's got to restore $5 for every dollar that he stole. I don't know what that means to you, but literally that means to me that the devil is pretty dumb doing what he's doing, because when we find out who he is, we're marching into hell's territory and we're taking it all back. But we're not just getting back what the devil has stolen. We're getting it all back with interest. I'm taking back 5 times everything that I lost. You think I'm going to sit here and let you ruin my finance and let you ruin the blessings that God has given me? Oh, no, devil, I know who the thief is, and I'm going to the thief's house, and I'm taking it all back, and I'm getting it back with interest. I'm getting it back what God has given me. Understand tonight that oxen are also a type and a shadow. The Bible talks about the strength of an ox. They are a type and a shadow of spiritual strength. Can I preach to somebody right now? I feel like preaching. Can I preach to somebody right now that the devil came in and he stole your strength? And every service you've been coming to God saying, Lord, it feels like it's all I can do to put one foot in front of the other. It's all I can do to just lift my hands and worship. It's all I can do to run around the church. I'm tired. I'm tired of fighting the devil on my job. I'm tired of fighting the devil in my family. I'm sick and tired of being where I'm at. I'm losing strength. I'm weak. But the Bible tells us that when we find out who the thief is, that we're going to the devil's territory, and we're going to take back 5 times the amount of strength that we ever. If the devil only knew what he was doing when he started messing in your house, he probably would have never came to your house, because I'm coming to tell somebody tonight, you're coming back, and you're coming back stronger. You're coming back, and you're coming back wiser. You're coming back with a greater anointing. You're coming back with more shouting, with more dancing, with more running than you ever had before. I'm telling a worshiper right now that's been sitting on the back pew, and it's been a while since you got out in the aisle and did your dance. I'm telling you tonight that it's coming back with a 5-time greater anointing than you ever had. I'm telling you, we know who the thief is, and we're going to hell's territory, and we're getting our strength back. When I read that, it's very easy for me to see David looking at Michael and say, if you think I shouted today, somebody's leaving here tonight with that attitude. Devil, if you thought I shouted before the trial, I'm about to shout 5 times louder than I ever shouted. If you thought I used to run the aisles before I went in the trial, when I come out of it, I'm coming out with 5 times the amount.
Devil, you're about to have a bad day because I figured out who the thief is, and the curse that's upon you says that I got to get it all back and five times more.
Hallelujah. He said, if he steals an ox, give him five oxen for one ox. Can I talk about sheep for a few minutes? He says, if he steals one sheep, you got to return four sheep for a sheep. So the devil came in and he thought he was slick and tried to split the church. Oh, I'm preaching to some mother right now. They got some babies that are sitting on bar stools. He came in and he got your son. But when we find out who the thief is, and John 10:10 tells us who the thief is, the Bible says in Exodus 22:1 that he's got to restore four sheep for a sheep. Meaning that your son's not the only one coming home, but God's going to return him and his four drinking buddies. Devil, you just didn't know what you were doing when you started stealing saints from New Life Apostolic Church. You didn't know what you were doing when you started messing in our families. And we lost a couple young people. We'll admit it. But we're telling you that we're going back to Hell's Kingdom and we're getting them all back. We're bringing back their friends from high school. We're bringing back their friends from college. I'm telling you, he said, I'm going to give you four sheep for a sheep. That sounds like revival. Every time the devil turns around, he's just hurting himself worse and worse and worse. Go ahead. Mess with the church if you want to, devil. But we're going to come back. And when we get them, we're not just getting them. We're taking the alcoholics with them. We're taking the drug addict friends with them. We're taking their partying buddies with them. We're bringing them all back. We're bringing them all back. Hallelujah. Can you give me Exodus 22:3? Can I just go through this text? Exodus 22:3. The Bible says, if the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him. We're still talking about the thief here. For he shall make full restitution. Now, I really like this part. Then it stops. It says, if he hath nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. Sounds a whole lot like Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8. When Paul's writing and said, he led captivity captive. So, devil, I just want you to know that in Birmingham, you're not just cursed, you're bound. I feel Holy Ghost right now. You're not just cursed and you're not just going to have to restore, but the Bible says that you're going to be put in bondage because of all the stuff that you've been doing in our life. I'm here to tell somebody tonight, you need to realize what you got living on the inside of you. He said, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And that same power is going to give you the ability to tread upon serpents and scorpions and cast out devils. And you're going to do mighty works in the name of Jesus because of the power that's within you. And he said, I'm going to give you the power so that you can bind and loose, so that spirit of depression that comes against you, he's not just stealing from you, but now you got the power to bind it. That spirit that's been coming against your marriage, he's not just trying to steal your marriage, and now the curse is not just going to be put upon him, but I'm giving you the power to bind him in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm telling somebody tonight, you are to open up your mouth and begin to bind the devil from your home, from your life. He's cursed. He's cursed. He is cursed. Now, can I have five more minutes? Genesis chapter 3 tells us of a curse. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 14. We see that the serpent has found his way into the garden. I don't know how he got there, and there's a whole lot of debate about that. I'll let Bishop tell you how that happened. But the Bible says that after he got in the garden, however he got there, that the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed. And so he begins to tell him what the curse is. He said, you're cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. And this is part of your curse right here. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. But I really like what the next verse says. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, I want you to just real calm-like, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, did you know that you were a curse? You're not cursed, you're a curse. Because the curse that was put upon the thief said that I'm going to put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and between, oh, help me, Jesus, her seed. And they are going to bruise your head, and you are going to bruise their heel. Simply putting into context, every time you shout at church, you're fulfilling the curse that God put upon the thief way back in Genesis chapter 3. Every time you run the aisles, you're fulfilling the curse that God looked at the serpent and said, upon thy belly shalt thou go. And by the way, your head's going to get bruised. That curse is fulfilled on every Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night around New Life. When an apostolic child of God comes to church, you ain't got to be real vibrant, but if all you do is pick up one foot and put it down and pick up the other foot and put it down, you're fulfilling the curse that God put on the... Hallelujah. Romans chapter 16 and verse 20. He said that the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet. And we usually stop right there. But the rest of that verse says, shortly, I've come to tell somebody on a Wednesday night that the God of peace shall put Satan under your feet. And he's going to... Lord, and he's going to do it shortly. He's going to do it quickly. I come to tell you that the thief that's been attacking your marriage, the thief that's been attacking your home, the thief that's been attacking your family, the thief that's been attacking your finance, God said, I'm going to put him under your feet. God said, I'm going to... I'm gonna put him under your feet. I don't think you hear me. God said, I'm gonna put him under your feet. Why would you keep carrying around on your shoulders what God said is under your feet? Why would you let it in your head when God said it's under your feet? Why would you let it in your home when God said it's under your feet? Yeah, I hear it. It's Wednesday night, preacher. I told y'all I never learned how to preach on Wednesday night. I'm raw. This is just me. But why do you think the devil doesn't like worship? It's because every time you shout, every time you run, you might not even be all the way in the spirit, but you're just kind of going through the motions, but you're really giving God praise. He's taken back to Genesis chapter 3, and he's reminded, that's one of the ones. He told me I was cursed, and there they go. He said my head, I'm telling you, the devil's having a headache right now. He said my head was going to be bruised, and that's one of them. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. And so that's why when you come to church, brother, sister, and the devil says, just sit there. They don't have enough room for you up front. I know I got folks that are with me right now, but some of y'all are saying, man, it's Wednesday. Well, he's God if it's Tuesday. He's God if it's Friday. You make up a day of the week and he'll be God of that day too.
I don't know what it is that you need deliverance from, but this one thing I know, that when you begin to give God praise, you start fulfilling the curse. You start fulfilling the curse. You remind him you've been cursed from the beginning. You've been cursed from the moment that you got lifted up in yourself. And so, devil, I just want you to know, I'm going to fulfill everything that God put upon you. If God needs somebody to shout, I'm going to be the one that'll shout on your head. If God needs somebody to dance, I'll be the one to dance on your head. I'm fighting hell. The devil's been trying to steal my peace, but I'm going to come to the house of God and give him glory and watch as the adversary, the thief, is put where he belongs.
You know what the problem is? Some of you two grown up. Yeah. You come to church and you got too mature. Kids, especially my kids, when one of them's getting on the other's nerves and they say, stop it, guess what's fixing to happen? They fixing to do it just because you said stop. Stop it. Okay. When was the last time you heard a 7-year-old do that? And maybe I'm taking this out of context, but Jesus said, lest you become as a little child. You get your feelings hurt too bad. Too easy. I had a bad day. Oh, well, I'm just coming to church and we're going to... You need to be a child. Oh, you don't want me to shout? You don't want me to dance? You said you didn't want me to run? You want me to keep going or you want me to stop now? You said that you was gonna stop me. Watch me. You said you was gonna slow me down. Baby, I'm ripping the rear view mirror off and we going all or nothing. I just want you to know I am your curse. You gonna have to put up with me to the day Jesus said it's finished. You gonna have to put up with me shouting. You gonna have to put up with my dance. You gonna have to deal with my worship until the day the Lord cracks the sky. I'm gonna be right here shouting on your head. I'm gonna be right here running the aisles. I don't care how bad it gets. I'm getting joy out of the fact that it's just making you mad. I'm getting joy out of the fact that I'm putting you where you belong. How many's fighting the devil? Then you ought to fulfill the curse that God gave you the ability to fulfill. You ought to fulfill the curse and put him where he belongs. I wish somebody just stomp on his head right now and give God a shout of praise. Oh, I know it's Wednesday night, and I know you're tired from being at the work all day, but I'm telling you right now that your deliverance is gonna come when you start putting him where he belongs. Your breakthrough, it's on the way when you start putting him where he belongs. Somebody give him praise.
Hold on. You see that right there? That's a sure sign that the devil don't want you to get loose in the Holy Ghost. He says, oh yeah, watch this. Oh yeah, keep messing with the music. That's fine.
I'll keep shouting. I'll keep dancing. I'll keep praising. It don't matter what happened.
You see, I meet Jesus. Hallelujah. Brother Collins, if I get in trouble, you just straighten me out, okay? See, the reason I think sometimes this kind of stuff happens is because some of us hadn't figured out how to give God praise if everything ain't right. I'm preaching the same thing I was preaching on Sunday night, but it's still good right now. Sometimes it don't matter how bad it is. I'm telling you, you got to give God glory in spite of, oh, God help me, Jesus. I'm not going to allow the devil to get in my mind and keep me from getting a breakthrough on a Wednesday night. I will give God praise. You ought to do it for the spite of the devil. You ought to do it just to make him mad. You ought to do it just to show him, I've been through the fire, I've been through the flood, but I still got a praise. I still have a dance. I still got jumping inside of my spirit. Oh yeah, you want me to stop? Watch me. You want me to stop? Just watch me praise him.
Watch me praise. Watch me praise. Devil, you don't praise. Watch me praise. Devil, you don't praise. Watch me praise. Watch me praise. Watch me. 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 Watch me, 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 devil, you don't praise,
devil, you don't praise,
watch me praise,
watch me praise,
oh devil, you don't praise,
devil, you don't praise,
watch me praise,
watch me praise,
devil, you don't praise,
devil, you don't praise,
watch me praise,
watch me praise,
devil, you don't praise,
devil, you don't praise,
watch me praise.
Watch me pray.
Watch me.
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 Devil, you don't pray.
Devil, you don't pray.
Watch me pray.
Watch me pray.
Oh, devil, you don't pray.
Devil, you don't pray.
Watch me pray.
Watch me praise.
Devil, you don't praise.
Devil, you don't praise.
Watch me praise.
Watch me praise.
Devil, you don't praise.
Devil, you don't praise.
Watch me praise.
Watch me praise.
Watch me.
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 Can I operate in the obvious for a minute? Is it all right if I operate in the obvious? Boy, it blows my mind. We good at singing songs. We can sing. But you want me to tell you what I'm seeing? This is just me. If y'all don't like me, that's fine. Bishop likes me. Collins likes me. As long as I got them two, I'm good. But this is how some of y'all say, you don't praise him. Watch me praise him. Watch me. Watch me. Watch me. You bow this. My Lord, have mercy. Dry and stale. Don't sing it if you ain't gonna do it. Oh, you didn't hear me. I said, don't sing it if you ain't gonna do it.
Devil, you ain't gonna praise him. Watch me praise him. Watch me dance. Watch me shout. Baby, don't just sing it. Do it. Don't just sing it. Do it. Don't just sing it. Don't sing it. Do it.
Watch me pray.
That's it, that's it, that's it. You about to get loose on a Wednesday night. Come on, you got the devil confused. You walked in burden. You walked in depressed. But you're walking out free. You're walking out praising. You're walking out dancing. You're walking out with the joy of the Lord.
Watch me
pray.
Watch me.
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 Watch me,
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 devil you don't praise him,
devil you don't praise him,
watch me pray,
watch me pray,
oh devil you don't praise him,
devil you don't praise him,
watch me pray,
watch me pray,
devil you don't praise him,
devil you don't praise him,
watch me pray,
watch me pray,
devil you don't praise him,
devil you don't praise him,
watch me pray.
Watch me pray.
Watch me.
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 Devil, you don't praise.
Devil, you don't praise.
Watch me pray.
Watch me pray.
Devil, you don't praise.
Devil, you don't praise.
Watch me pray.
Watch me praise.
Devil, you don't praise him.
Devil, you don't praise him.
Watch me praise.
Watch me praise.
Devil, you don't praise him.
Devil, you don't praise him.
Watch me pray.
Watch me praise.
Watch me.
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 Watch me,
watch me,
watch me.
Oh, devil, you don't praise him.
Devil, you don't praise him.
Watch me praise.
Watch me praise.
Devil, you don't praise.
Devil, you don't praise him.
Watch me praise.
Watch me praise.
Devil, you don't praise him.
Devil, you don't praise him.
Watch me praise.
Watch me praise.
Devil, you don't praise.
Devil, you don't praise him.
Watch me praise.
Watch me praise.
Watch me.
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 Watch me,
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 devil you don't praise,
devil you don't praise,
watch me praise,
watch me praise,
devil you don't praise,
devil you don't praise,
watch me praise,
watch me praise,
devil you don't praise,
devil you don't praise,
watch me praise,
watch me praise.
You gotta like that. Hey! Somebody just lift up a voice right now. Shout a little bit about what God's done and what God is gonna do. Okay, I don't want to break into your party tonight. Hermano Porfirio, soy pastor. Sí. Traduzca, pastor, in English. What does it mean, though? What does pastor mean?
What?
Means shepherd.
Now, I heard everything the preacher preached tonight. I really did hear everything. But there was something that he preached that stood out in 12-foot neon red letters. I heard everything he said. And I heard everything you said after that. But there's something really big and red standing up in my visionary path tonight. And it's about those sheep. It's about those sheep that the thief stole one and he had to bring back four. Is there somebody on your heart tonight that the devil stole? Now hold on. I know you already heard it. But right now, I want you to do two things. I want you to shout about it, but I want you to lose your voice, and I want you to say, and there's four coming back with him, and there's four coming back with her. Right now, I want you to see them walking in that door. I want you to see them down at that altar tonight. I want you to see them. Now I want you to shout about it. Now I want you to shout about it. Now I want you to shout about it. No, say it. One went out, but five are coming back. Say it, one went out, but five are coming back. Give somebody a high five and tell them we're getting it all back. Shake them a little bit and say, one went out, but five are coming back. My God, if you got your hand on them, shout with them a little bit. Dance with them a little bit. Say, five are coming back. Come on, they're coming back because he can't hold them. They're coming back because they belong to God. They're coming back because he doesn't have a chain strong enough. They're coming back because your worship is going to destroy all those things that bind them. Are you finished? Come on, you do what you want to do. That's why you're here. I just break it in for a minute. Let's go.
Somebody ought to give God praise right now. Say, we done shouted. We done danced. We done gave God glory. How would you act right now if the four walked in the door? How would you shout now if that backslidden child just prayed through? How would you dance now if that lost family member just got the Holy Ghost? You ought to give him praise like it just happened. You ought to dance in advance. Crazy. You can say it's crazy if you want to, and you can sit right there and never get your miracle. But baby, if you can step past the crazy and give him praise for the four, God said, I'll give you four. I'll give you, I'm going to give you vineyards that you didn't plant. I'm going to give you houses you didn't build. Come on, new life. There's a blessing on the way. It's here right now.
That's what I'm going to do right now. Bishop Sutton, you said to obey God. This is what I want to do right now. If you are living in a home where there are unsaved people, would you lift your hand right now? Right there, right there, right there. You can do what you want to. But this is what the Holy Ghost said. He said, if you'll walk up here to this front, we're going to begin to praise God for working at your home right now. Again, you can call me charismatic if you want to, but that's what the Lord just spoke to me right there. If you've got people living in your home that do not know God, that are not following the Acts 2:38 message, whether it be a children, whether it be a roommate, whether it be, it doesn't matter what it is, whoever it is that it's in your home that does not know God, I want you to get up here around this front right now. And the rest of this church, we're going to begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, and we're going to begin to worship. And wherever your home is, God said, I'm dispatching angels, and I'm sending conviction to that home right now. In the name of Jesus. Come on, church family, would you lift your hands and point them this way? In the name of Jesus, God, send an angel. Send an angel. Send an angel home. Send an angel to their home. Send an angel to their home. Come on, conviction's being poured out at your house right now. Now I want you to praise him. Praise him for it. Praise him for it. Praise him for it. I don't care how many times they said, I'll never come. I'm telling you, that backslidden husband, that man that doesn't know God, that son, that daughter, they're coming, they're coming, they're coming, they're coming, they're coming, they're coming home. They're coming back to where God has called them to. They got an anointing on their life, and the devil's not going to have them. He's not going to be able to steal them. You ought to give him praise right now. Give him praise right now. Give him praise right now. He's working in your house. He's working in your home. How bad do you want it? 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 I need a believer to find somebody up here around the front and grab them and pray with them. Come on, pray with them, pray with them, pray with them. Grab your brother by the hand. Grab your sister by the hand. Somebody full of faith and say, God's going to bring it to pass. God's going to bring it to pass. Let it be done. Let it be done. Let it be done. Let it be done. Miracles, signs, and wonders, they're coming to your house. I'm telling you right now in the Holy Ghost, before the new year, there's going to be testimonies of what's happening right now. Before the new year, there's going to be testimonies of what's going on right now. God's moving, God's moving, God's moving, God's moving. He's pouring it out, he's pouring it out.